We're very fortunate, as you know, that this program deals with people who make a contribution to our community, who have the whole public service as a forefront and priority. And I'm really delighted to have in the studios on Spotlight this morning the Minister, the New South Wales Minister for Finance and Small Business, Mr. Damien Tudup. Thank you so much for being here, Minister.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Morning, Darren. Good to be here.
Thank you very much.
Well, just a little bit about our minister. Loves tennis, loves cricket, and also barracks for the Sydney Swans. And I think that's a pretty good take. There's so many questions, Minister, we want to ask you, but I want to understand the human part of who you are as well. You have 9 children. In your first speech, you dedicated that to someone that was 7 months old. That was your granddaughter. Why did you do that?
Well, that was my first speech in the upper house. I, in fact, had the privilege of giving two first speeches. I gave one when I was the member for Epping, but then on the last occasion I gave an initial speech on being elected to the upper house. And at the occasion of that speech, my granddaughter Lydia had a serious operation that she had to go through, and it all turned out fantastically, and she's just a ball of fun now. But she was going through a fairly difficult time at the time, and anyway, she will be a force to be reckoned with in the future. So she's had a first mention in Parliament, but I'm sure that won't be the last.
Well, Minister, I've had the fortune of reading your speech as Chief Counsel twice.
Yep.
Interesting, the recognition and the importance of family to you, and that's illustrated in the celebration of your children and your wife, Di. I also want to just let our listeners know you talk about a very important person, Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
So you know that I have read it.
Sure.
what was the purpose? Because if I can tell our listeners, the case of human life and happiness and not their destruction is the first and only object of a good government. And I think that says a lot about you.
Yeah, well, I think primarily we as a parliament and as elected members of parliament have a responsibility to promote the dignity of human beings. And, you know, I have a particular focus on the dignity which is afforded by work, the dignity which is being afforded by being members of families. And whatever policies the government develops, you know, whether it's the delivery of infrastructure, whether it's jobs creation policy or the like, it is primarily focused on making the quality of family life and the quality of life generally better for us all. One of the great tragedies, I think, that well, there are a number of things I think which are besetting us at the moment. But when you have things like COVID and pandemics and the like, is that you certainly you take people out of work, you create anxiety for their families and the like. And whatever we do as a government should be with a focus on making sure that we reduce people's anxiety and make sure that the quality of their family life is maintained.
Well, Minister, the reason why I raised that question, that line of thinking, is because you have been and were a very successful partner in a law firm. You are a solicitor by trade, to use those terms, and you made a very strategic decision with your family to go into public service. You've always been involved,
sure,
but in the public domain. And those little subtleties that I've just highlighted say much about your humility. And on behalf of Spotlight, Darren and myself, we want to thank you for the contribution you make to our community. Yeah,
thanks, Jim. If I could just go back to one thing that I also did raise in that maiden speech, which I think is something that we don't look at nearly enough, is this whole concept of loneliness. Interestingly, in the United Kingdom, they have a ministry which is dedicated towards finding opportunities to resolve issues around loneliness. And it's a bit of something that we don't focus on nearly enough as a community, that the number of people who, you know, spend large amounts of time without people to talk to, and, you know, the person who comes and knocks on their door canvassing is someone the first time they've said one word during the day. Kyle and I went to a place yesterday called Beehive Industries, and it's something that the government is very interested in doing, is supporting social enterprises where we encourage government agencies to purchase from social enterprises so that there can be an opportunity for people who potentially at home and lonely, to go somewhere and work. And we went to a place called, Beehive Industries. And what they do is that they may take mail sorting or collating opportunities for mail distribution and the like. And they use that as an opportunity of someone who needs to get out of home and needs a feed, and they come in and they do something productive, but they actually talk to someone during the day. And I'm pretty passionate about that as a concept, because we ought to be looking at opportunities of getting people who are potentially disconnected from society. There's one lady there, Vera, I think her name was, and she is in her 80s or maybe even as early 90s, but she says it's the reason she gets out of bed every morning is to go and be with other people that she can talk to her, and sorts mail and that sort of thing. But it's a productive thing to do. You know, it might be just mail which is return to sender. You sort of, this mail needs to be sorted. The addresses for those people that we have in our system are obviously wrong. This is someone who actually does something productive during their day. And we ought to be looking for more opportunities as a government to support industries that do this sort of stuff.
Jim and I couldn't agree more, Minister, and thank you for your support with Beehive Industries. And it's fascinating to hear that, and to hear how that social enterprise, working as a small business, which I know is your ministry as well, and it's really good to see those sorts of approaches. We've got a lot to get through this morning with you, and one thing I want to hone in on is just the current program for the Dine and Discover vouchers,
sure,
which is the New South Wales State Government's cash injection to the economy through businesses and particularly small businesses. Yep. Can you tell us how that's going at the moment and, how people are finding the program?
It's a good initiative, and the background to it is this is we've had a pretty horrendous year for small business. And I often start by saying that if you're a small business and the government issues a public health order and says you've got to close your business in circumstances where you can't pay your suppliers, you can't pay your mortgage, and you can't pay your rent, it's a pretty traumatic sort of event for the way that your business model. I'm sure Jim would have views about the advice that he'd give to his clients in circumstances where they walk through the door and say, guess what, I don't have any income coming in, I've got all these expenses I've got to meet. That's generally the recipe for you say, we'll head off to the court and get this business wound up in a hurry. So we as a government had an obligation to assist those businesses, and we had a myriad of programs. Often we can talk about lots of them as we go through, but a myriad of programs to help people get through. Obviously, the economy is now opening up again, and we had one of the success stories of the New South Wales government was we had a very big economic focus as well as a health focus. We didn't just issue knee-jerk reactions to shut the joint down. We wanted to keep businesses going as far as possible. So as we emerged, we were looking for opportunities of assisting those businesses which needed a bit of a leg up. And the hospitality and, I suppose, cultural opportunity businesses were the ones most impacted, because no one was going to restaurants. Admittedly, lots of restaurants learned how to do takeaway and the like, and some of them did pretty well at it. But generally, the hospitality industry was pretty impacted. So the Treasurer designed this program, Treasurer and the Minister for Customer Services, and I had some small involvement, designed this program of issuing vouchers to people, and everyone should. We've issued, I think at last count it was nearly close on 4 million vouchers that we've already issued. We've got 4 million customers, all of whom have $100 worth of vouchers. So that's, if you do the math,
a big investment.
It's,
yeah,
it's $400 million yeah, already out the door. We anticipated getting up to 5 million registered voucher users. I'm optimistic that we will hit that. But by getting these vouchers out, we wanted to get $500 million into the economy. Now, The nature of the voucher is you can download it through your Service New South Wales app, and you get. And those who have done it will see that they get four vouchers. And very simple process. If you go to a restaurant, which is a Dine and Discover registered outlet, and I think we've got 38,000 of those outlets already registered with Service New South Wales, you can go there and have a meal. $25 of that we pay for. So it's encouraging people to get out and spend. And, yep. And let me tell you the good thing. The good thing is that the evidence available to us is that for every $25 that someone spends, generally the bill's about $48 or $50. So people are almost doubling the amount that they're mm-hmm. – so we're getting people out, spending their $25, which we've given them, but then spending an additional $25 of their own. So it's putting a lot of money, potentially $1 billion, mm-hmm. into the economy or injecting that into the economy.
So I've dined out once already, and it was about that, about $50 and $25 paid for by the New South Wales government, and that's yep. great. Now, just if we may just go to the Discover part of it, it's probably the lesser known part of the vouchers as to not that they're there, you see them in your phone, as you say, yep. but where can they be used and where would you recommend people to go to in June in New South Wales to both support the economy but use their vouchers?
Yeah, well, that's the often where people are telling us it's a tricky part. The cinema industry is doing well. You can use your voucher at the cinema. Take go and have a gold class experience. You know, if you've never done it before, go and have a gold class experience one way or the other. Well, but it's not only cinemas. You can go to the zoo. You can go to play putt-putt golf. I think someone mentioned to me that you can go, what are they called? Putt-putt. We used
holy
to call
moly
it,
now,
holy
think.
Moly. Yeah. Holy moly.
Holy moly.
Well, that's the new expression. What it is, you know, there are a variety of, you know, art galleries, museums, zoos, the like, they all are part of the experience that you can use these vouchers for. But what we're wanting people is to get out. You know, I often use the example, you can go and have a dining and a movie experience, and it's a really good night out. So you go and have a food and then go to a
movie.
You
double up.
Mm. Absolutely. So, but you got only to the end of the month.
Is it happening quick enough?
Not quickly enough for us.
Is there anything that can be done about that?
Well, let's say, it's supposed to end at the end of June. We want people to spend them before the end of June. Now, clearly, we'll have to have a think about what we do if, in fact, there's still an unspent proportion of that funding that hasn't been used. We'd like to think that it will be used somehow before the end of the June, because we want the money in the economy. But
so maybe the vouchers out by end of June, but a bit longer to redeem? Is that
well,
a possibility?
Let's wait and see, but we would like the money out the door. We want people to actually go to the restaurant, spend their money. So if you've got your voucher downloaded, don't just leave it on your phone. Put it in someone's cash register.
Well, we've just been told by our next guests who are coming in after yourself, Minister, that Castle Hill Players are now accepting Discover vouchers for their latest play, which is The Cripple of Inishman, and you'll learn all about that in our second half hour this hour. Just time for a break. You're on a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and we're speaking with the Minister for Finance and Small Business, Damien Tudorhope, and we'll be back shortly.
Alive 90.5.
It's 25 minutes past 10. Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Really fantastic having the Minister in the studios, Darren, and Minister Tudorhope. I want to ask you a couple of things that you're really passionate about, and if you read anything about it, it's non-negotiable. And you're doing a lot of work in the Indigenous space in terms of the contributions that they make, in accordance with, you know, all other small businesses, but there is a real emphasis upon it. The Indigenous Chamber of Commerce has a big event coming up on the 8th of June, and it's called Start, Grow and Adapt. And it's a scheme dealing with services for pre-qualification schemes for the Indigenous fraternity, if I can use those terms. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because I think it's a wonderful concept.
Yeah, in fact, it applies to small business generally, but we have two major policies which we have in procurement. The New South Wales government spends about $30 billion a year buying stuff. We are a customer worth having. And one of the things that that we develop and I have responsibility for is the setting of the policies of the government in relation to how we spend our money. There are two things. We've got a small and regional business procurement policy, and that's because we're trying to get more small businesses to have an opportunity to buy from the New South Wales government and certainly regional businesses. And we've issued policy directions about agencies having authorities to be able to just go down to the local shop to be able to buy things that they need. If you're a local school in a local regional town, you should be able to do business with the New South Wales government. The school should be able to go down the road and buy a computer or whatever they need from a local business rather than to have to wait for some Sydney business to supply the item of computer hardware that you need. We've also got an Indigenous procurement policy, and that's a policy which says that we want contractors with the government and agencies of government to seek to have as much as 3% of their contracting done with Indigenous companies. Now, the question always arises, what qualifies as an Indigenous small business or Indigenous company with whom agencies can do business so that they can meet the requirements of the procurement policy which we have set for agencies and contractors to meet. So the pre-qualification service, which the Indigenous Chamber of Commerce, and I love Deb Barwick a lot, is that they certify or have the capacity to certify that this is an Indigenous business for the purposes of fulfilling the requirements of New South Wales procurement policy. So one of the biggest problems we've always had is, A, finding the Indigenous business who fill that gap, but also qualifying those businesses and certifying those businesses to the government as fulfilling that requirement. Now, it's a great policy, and we want much more take-up. And, in fact, I think in the budget we will be reporting on how successful we are in terms of getting procurement done through Indigenous businesses and small and regional businesses.
Thanks for sharing that. My final question then, Darren, I know you've got so many questions. My final question is the mouse plague. It is really bad, and you've taken giant steps to try and help there. I was reading about that.
Yeah, well, the mouse plague is the thing is that, you know, I don't know where all this goes. We've had fires and floods and plagues, and now mouse plagues. But it's hard to predict that this was going to happen. Who was up there telling us at the beginning of the year that in May, June of this year, we were going to see the images that we have of the mouse plague the way that it has? So it was an event that government couldn't predict, but we've got to respond to. And certainly what we are doing is reacting to this plague in a way that hopefully will ameliorate it. But by offering rebates to families and businesses, and it's up to $1,000 for a business and $500 for an individual home, but we're not only saying, oh, well, that's from what you spend now. We say, no, but anything money you've spent since February this year on mouse eradication will be available for you to make that claim for that expenditure. So I'm encouraging people to look at what they need, keep the receipts or whatever it is if you've got receipts for what you've done in respect of mouse eradication. But those grants are available to assist those farmers. And you know, quite frankly, if you see the images, it is hard to see
terrible
how much money you can spend on this to do it, because in many respects a lot of the problem is not only the actual damage to the businesses, and that's substantial, but it is also the mental health of people who are living in those communities. If you wake up in the morning and there are mice running around you, it is pretty confronting.
It's very substantial, and that's good that those rebates are there as well, which leads me on my final question, just as we finish up this morning with you, Minister, is about other business rebates that small business can do, and the $1,500 rebate. How does a small business qualify for that?
Yeah, well, it's a small rebate, but a really important one, and we introduced it in April this year. It's $1,500, which can go towards that small businesses can spend, and a small business is if you're earning over $75,000, and you've got a GST registration and the like. But those businesses can make application for a rebate of government expenses, whether it's council rates, whether it's water rates, or other registration fees, things that you've got but you have to spend on government amounts that you might to just give you a hand up in relation to those businesses. And that's a substantial amount, but it goes until July next year, so there is a good opportunity for people to say, well, this is the first time I've heard about this. Go to business Service New South Wales. If you have opportunities available for business, the grants are there. If you've got some government expense that you've got coming up, there's a good opportunity to claim a rebate for that expense.
And I must say it was a very simple process because it goes to associations as well, like ourselves.
Yeah,
and we qualified and we have $1,500 to pay for our council rent for this quarter.
So in fact, I think not-for-profits are included. That's
they
right.
Are.
So thanks for reminding me.
And it's really good. It's been a great rebate and it's helped our budget this year as well.
Yeah.
Minister, it's been a delight to have you in the studios with us. Thank you for all the work that you do and continue to work. In leadership, it is about the commitment of making those decisions that help people. Thank you for the strength that you give and show to particularly the business community of New South Wales. Mm-hmm. On behalf of Darren and myself, Spotlight, 90.5 FM. It's just been a really fantastic to have you in. We hope you come back and accept our invitation.
Oh, Jim, it's a delight to be here. The time goes so quickly.
Like, it does.
You sort of think, this is a massive amount of time to fill in, but it goes so quickly. Great to be here, and I'll be back for sure.
Well, we want this to be your home because there's millions of people who listen to every word on what you can do to help them, so thank you.
Alive 90.5.